You're listening to Waters Church Podcast, where faith meets real life. We're one church, many locations, and one mission, to see lives changed by Jesus. No matter where you're listening from, you are a part of Waters Church family. Now, let's dive into today's message from our pastor.
In the Prayer and Fasting Journal, I take you to the last entry that should have been your study yesterday. And we've been studying this at the high points during the Sunday morning services. I want to read to you the paragraph from yesterday's devotional. The title is The Miracle of Finishing Strong. Somebody say, finish strong. Okay, here it is. The final miracle of Acts is not healing or deliverance, it's perseverance. You have to understand, perseverance is a miracle. How many of you know some people who gave up? How many of you know some people who gave up on their marriage and they gave up on their kids, gave up on their goals, their opportunities, gave up on their job? You know, there's an old quote from a preacher that I really love, and his name is Tommy Barnett. He's a fantastic preacher. He said this one time. He said, the people who quit oftentimes don't realize just how close they were to succeeding when they quit. Oh, that quote sticks in my spirit. When I want to quit, I think that's a tell. And I want to give this to you. When you want to quit, I think that's a tell that you're this close. You're this close to succeeding. And if you just press through that last leg of the journey, you're going to cross the finish line with hands up, and it's going to be well worth it. Perseverance is a miracle. It goes on. God's mission is unstoppable, even in chains. The Spirit empowers us not just to begin. Anybody can start. Anybody can start the diet. Not everybody can finish the diet. Anybody can start the family. Not everybody finishes the family. Anybody can have a child. Not everybody raises that child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Yeah. Finishing is better than starting. Can I get a good amen? In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes agrees with me. Ecclesiastes, I wrote a book on it called Ending Emptiness. You want to get that book? And he talks about this. He says, the end of a matter is better than the beginning of the matter. Oh, we love to post on our social medias when we're starting something, when we joined the gym, when we've gotten involved in the, you know, classes or the program. Yeah, I started today. Oh, who cares? Anybody can start. Can you finish? Perseverance is a what? You gotta listen harder next time. Perseverance is a miracle. Then it says, consider how much spiritual help, influence, and anointing and bondage-breaking power you have just prayed into your life. Remember, nothing holds back the word of God. He is unstoppable through his church. You are not the same person who started this 20 days ago. You are different, and God has done it. Praise the Lord. We're going to fast and pray again in August in some shape, way, or form. But I want to just thank you for participating, laying some seeds in the soil of our future. And I want to talk to you from this passage in Acts chapter 28. Keep your Bibles open on the keys to finishing strong. How do I finish, Pastor? How do I finish? Maybe you're here today, you want to quit. Maybe you're here today, you're ready to give up. Maybe last night you threw some barbs at your spouse, and today you're thinking about, maybe we're just not fit for each other, and you're thinking about quitting. Maybe you're at the job and you're thinking, I just don't get appreciation. Nobody really pays attention to me. I don't even know if I'm flowing in my gifts. Why do I work at this dead-end job? Maybe you started the business and you've hit some roadblocks and you wonder, is it even worth it? Are my efforts going to be rewarded? Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me today. Wherever you are, don't quit. I believe God has you doing that. I believe God has you where you are on purpose for a greater reason and a better season yet to come. And you got to learn to press through the quitting points in order to accomplish great things in Jesus. And I'm not just talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about material things. I want Waters Church people to be successful in everything that they do. The scripture says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord his God. And on that law he doth meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of living water, whose leaf does not wither, and produces fruit in season. And then this line, in whatever he does, he prospers. That's a promise for those who put God's word in their heart. You'll prosper in whatever you put your hands to do. So let's talk about it. Five keys to finish strong. Write this down at the first one. In order to finish strong, I must have a goal. I must have a goal. What's your goal? You know, the old adage goes like this. The old adage goes like this. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So if you're not planning something, you're not going somewhere. You know, I think you gotta have long-term goals, like getting to heaven and finishing the faith strong. Amen, somebody. But then how about some short-term goals? Five-year goals, where do you wanna be? How about some even shorter-term goals? One year from now, I want to. What about even shorter? How about next month, I want to? Do you understand? Acts chapter 28, Paul the Apostle will in this chapter finally accomplish one of his great ambitions. And that ambition, believe it or not, was to get to the city of ancient Rome. He wanted to get to the city of ancient Rome because he wanted to preach the gospel to, at that time, what was the New York City of the ancient Rome, of the ancient world, the most important city at that time. That's a big stinking goal. And he wanted to do it. And he says that as much in the book of Romans. See, if you just flip on the screen, you go to the next book here. And so in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, verse 9, he specifies this, writing to this church. And by the way, even though the book of Romans comes after the book of Acts, it was actually written 3 years before the events of Acts chapter 28. So this book would sit somewhere around Acts chapter 19 is when Paul wrote it. Okay, and he says, for God is my witness in verse 9 of Romans 1, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I mention you in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed. Oh, it was frustrating. He didn't get there. He tried. He got set back. He pressed for. He got pushed back on what he wanted to do. But he's hoping. How many know? You know, you ever get to a place where I want to be here, I just don't know how I'm going to get there. This is Paul the Apostle. Somehow. I don't know how, but somehow. Hey, you don't need to always have the hows. Sometimes you just have to have a somehow. I don't know how, but somehow. Hey, Waters Church of Apollo Beach, somehow we're going to build a bigger sanctuary to accommodate all the people that God is going to bring into this church. Hey, Waters Church, North Attleboro, somehow we're going to build out that Waters Academy. Hey, Waters Church, Woonsocket, somehow we're going to have a permanent facility that we own for you guys. Hey, Waters Church, Orlando, somehow it's going to start. And Waters Church, Greenville, hey, it was somehow we started last Sunday. And two people came to Jesus Christ in that theater who have never heard the message of Christ before. You asked me 2 years ago how we were going to do it. I would have said, somehow. All right. Somehow I may last succeed in coming to you. You don't have to know everything. You just have to have some plans. Verse 15, same chapter. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. This is a common theme in the book of Romans. If I go back, Romans chapter 15, he emphasizes this in verse 20 or in verse 9, I believe. No, that's not right. He emphasizes this in verse 22. And if we go down to that verse in Romans 15, so he says it in Romans 1, and now he says it in Romans 15. He says, this is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. Hey, you set goals, expect some hindrances. Paul wanted to get there, he was hindered, but he never stopped saying, this is my goal. He says, I no longer have any room in these regions, and since I have longed for many years. Oh, my friends, I wonder who's sitting here today, and you have had goals for many years, and you haven't gotten them yet. Oh, welcome to the club. Paul says, I wanted to do this for many years, and I want to come to you, and I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. You're not my final stop, but you're my next stop on the way. And in verse 30, again, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayer. I need you to pray so that I may be delivered, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you. Again and again and again and again, Paul is making clear, this is my goal. Hey, what else is he doing when he says what his goal is? You know what he's doing? He's writing it down. Have you ever written down your goals? That's a real great agenda for your life. Don't just say it. You know, anybody can say something. Sit down. And maybe some people in your home, some moms and dads, you need to sit down and you say, what are our goals for our children? Let's write them down. Hey, number one, we want our children committed to the house of the Lord. Number two, we want them educated in Christian education. Number three, we want them to be looking for a spouse who loves the Lord as well. Come on, somebody, those are good goals for your children. Don't put it at the top of the list. Please don't do that. Don't put it at the top of the list. We want our children to be wealthy. Oh, no, no, no. That's you can get wealth with a bunch of trouble. I want my children to love the Lord first and foremost. Amen, somebody. Do you got goals in your life? Write them down. Let people know. Now listen to this. From Acts chapter 19. In fact, I can go there and show you this. From Acts chapter 19. This is crazy to me. All right? This is Paul the Apostle's journeys. Basically, Paul becomes the center character of the book of Acts from around Acts chapter 13 through the rest of the book. It's crazy, but it's true. And in Acts chapter 19, it says, after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. This is a man who from Acts chapter 19 through 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, and approximately 3+ years has been talking about, writing about, praying about, seeking about, asking other people to pray for him. Hey, I got to get to Rome. And he had setbacks and he had hardships. And at one time, the scripture says that he had to sneak out of a city at night because a band of 40 men had taken a covenant not to eat or drink until they killed the apostle Paul. And the Bible says that they let him out at night down a basket out of a window. How humiliating. Men, a grown man in a basket has to sneak out of the city being let out of a window from the second story. And he scurries out of the city for his safety. I wonder whatever happened to that vow of those 40 men who said they wouldn't eat or drink because they didn't get them. Did they die of hunger? I doubt it. Nonetheless, he was committed to achieving one goal. Do you have a goal? Write it down. And you know what else? How about this? Let some other people know about it. Oh, that's when it gets serious. That's when the rubber really hits the road, because then those people are going to say, hey, whatever happened to that plan? Whatever happened to that goal? Oh, I kind of shelved it. Well, maybe it's time to pull it out of the closet and get it back on solid footing and move forward in Jesus' name. How about some spiritual goals? Not just geographical goals or professional goals, spiritual goals. One of Paul's spiritual goals is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says this, what we just did during fasting and praying. He says, I discipline my body. I keep my body where? Under control. Why? Because if I don't, my body will keep me under control. My body will tell me where to go. How about this one? I'm on the precipice of 50 years old. I'm 49 and 4 months. And I am dreading that big 5-0. Even though I look 3-6. Come on, somebody. 3-4? 3-3? Can I get a 3-2? And I'm thinking about how much more I want my body to not control me later on in life. That's my big goal right now. I want to be more fit today than I was in my 20s. By God's grace, I'm going to get there. And I'm putting it out there so that if you see me with a little pop belly next week, you say, Pastor Tim, you shouldn't have gone to Chick-fil-A all day. What's your goal? What's your goal? What's your goal spiritually? Discipline your body. Keep it under control so that you're not disqualified. Hey, how about a heavenly goal? Philippians chapter 3, I press on, he says, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, Philippians 3:14, in Christ Jesus. Now let's take a look at the goal for the church. What's the goal for the church? Well, that's Acts 1:8. When Jesus says, you, this is the church, this is us, this is me, you will be my witnesses. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in the city of Jerusalem, where you start, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. By the way, they accomplished that goal because this happened on another continent, in another country, on the other side of the world, in another hemisphere. And here we are in the great states of Florida and South Carolina and New England states, and we are worshiping the same Jesus that they talked about back in Acts 1:8. How many know God is pro-goal? He wants you to accomplish things in Jesus' name. I love this passage from the book of Proverbs. Talk about setting goals. Here we go. Go to the ant, Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. I mean, an ant knows how to prepare. An ant has goals. Now, last time I checked, the gospel does not get preached to ants. You're more important than an ant. If an ant has a goal, you should have a goal. What are you preparing for? What are you laying groundwork for in your life? Some of you, you're struggling with addiction. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this addiction. I know how you're going to get out of it. You're going to set a goal. Here's the goal. Step one, sign up for our class, Celebrate Recovery. Attend the class. Step two, talk to other people through the Beatitudes of Matthew 5 on how you're going to finally get free of alcohol, how you're going to finally get free of marijuana, how you're finally, maybe you got to get free of social media or pornography or gambling or some other addiction. You're going to finally break free in Jesus' name. Some of you are like, I don't know, my wife and I, if we don't do something, we're going our separate ways. No, you're not. Here's the goal. Number one, you're going to sign up for our re-engage class. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get with other couples. You're going to go back to the basics on how to communicate, how to appreciate, how to resolve conflict, how to talk to each other, how to raise kids, how to put God first in your family so that the devil doesn't get a hold of your house. That's what you're going to do. Set a goal. Attend the class. Some of you say, I got no money. Young people, filled with student loans and all kinds of stupid debt. And you think to yourself, I'll never get ahead. Stop saying that in Jesus' name. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to sign up for financial peace. You're going to take the class. You're going to attend. If you can't afford it, we're going to pay and cover the fee for your entrance so that you can pay off those ridiculous, enslaving student loans. You can get free. You can live like no one else. God can bless you and prosper you. And then you can retire well and leave an inheritance to your children's children in Jesus' mighty name. That's what you're gonna do. Some of you say, I don't have a church family. I don't have anybody that I know that belongs to Jesus. Here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna take our growth track class, and you're gonna come, and we're gonna feed you food, and we're gonna bless you and tell you what we believe, what Waters Church is all about, how you get involved, why life group matters, why you need to be serving on the weekends, what you should do to be a part of the kingdom of God here. And God is gonna establish you in the kingdom of God, and you're gonna bear fruit, and you're gonna see people come to Jesus out of darkness and into God's marvelous light because you helped somebody know the Savior. I can't think of anything better than to do that. But have you got a goal? I got some advice for you on biblical goal setting. Write this down. Biblical goal setting, 3 points to this end. Biblical goal setting, letter A, write this down, seeks godly counsel. Maybe you got a goal and you don't know if it's the right goal. Okay, here's what you got to do. You got to seek somebody's counsel. Now, please circle the word godly. You don't ask your sister who's been divorced 3 times what you should do about your marriage. Godly counsel. By the way, in your margin of that point, I don't have a blank for this, but in the margins, please put this few. Few people. F-E-W. Don't ask all of everybody. Don't go to every person in your life and say, well, what do you think I should do? And what do you think I should do? And what, if you ask 12 people what you should do, you're going to get 18 stinking opinions. If you ask 5 people, you're going to get 7.5 opinions. Because if there's one thing that people love to do, they love to tell other people what to do. Yeah? So here's what you do. 2 or 3. two or three godly people, because the scripture says, by two or three witnesses shall all things be established. I think if two or three witnesses are good enough for God, they're good enough for me. So don't ask everybody, ask yourself, your pastors, your elders, your small group leaders, people that love you, who care for you, that's what they're there for. Proverbs 15, 22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. In other words, don't just put yourself on the battlefield before you've talked to a couple of battle-tested brothers and say, do you think I can do it? What is your advice for me? Get in the wise counsel atmosphere and God will establish your goals. Letter B. Embrace hard work. The difference between a dreamer and a doer is hard, stinking work. That's the difference. Anybody can dream. Anybody can have a plan. Anybody can say, oh, this is my New Year's resolution. The difference between those who do it and those who just say it is hard work. And after you're done with hard work, you work hard. And after you work hard, you work hard. There's no shortcuts. The devil is in the shortcut business. God is in the long, hard work business. Scripture says in Proverbs 21, the plans of the what? Circle that word, diligent. The plans of the, not the dreamers. The plans of the diligent lead to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. Let me tell you how this works out in my life. When I was 13 years old, God put in my spirit to be a pastor. 13. Now, I am an outliner. I'm an outlier. Not everybody knows what they're going to do with their life at 13. So please do not beat yourself up if you do not know what you're going to do or you didn't know what you're going to do at 13 years old. All right, I was weird, and I fully admit that. But I went to my mother, and I said, I want to be a pastor. She said, oh, no, you don't. And the reason why she was like that was because she was raised in a pastor's house. She was a pastor's daughter. And back in those days, the church was really not kind to pastors. They kept them very poor. The old adage was, Lord, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. That was the adage. And she struggled as a daughter of a pastor. And she saw all the hate, all the criticism that her father got. She did not want that for her son, so I can understand that she just didn't like the idea of me following in those footsteps. And I'll never forget that she got godly counsel from a man who would eventually become my father-in-law, Pastor Thomas Geiser. He said to her, after seeing her wrestle with me becoming a pastor, she wanted me to become like a computer programmer or something. She wanted me to become something who would lose his job to AI. That's what she wanted me to come out. Anyway, now we all know. See, yeah, played a long game. Okay, anyway, so she went to him, she said, Pastor Geiser, I don't know what to do. He wants to be like, you know, he wants to be a pastor like you. I don't like the idea. What do you think I should? And he said, Mrs. Hatch, here's what you do. You let him do it. Because if he's not called and if it's not in his heart, the hard work he faces will cause him to give up. And so she said, good idea. She let me go to Bible college and she prayed that I would give up. And I didn't give up. You know why? Because I understand that's God's goal for my life, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm still having the time of my life doing what God has called me to do. Oh, it's hard. Oh, it's hard. You've not seen me and my wife weep tears, physical tears at night, praying, struggling, losing friends, getting criticized at every turn. And now I'm on YouTube because I don't consider personal punishment enough. I need impersonal punishment from YouTube commenters coming at me. And oh, it's so tough to face down all those haters. Everybody has haters. For heaven's sakes, even LeBron James has haters. Michael Jordan had haters. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback that has ever touched the earth. Y'all hated him down here in Tampa until he came down and helped you out, didn't he? Everybody has haters. You gotta press through with hard work, and the diligent hands prosper. Letter C, biblical goal setting. Stay surrendered to the Lord. Here's what I mean. You set the goal, then you let God call the shots. You set the goal. God, I want to be here. In 1 year, I want to be here. In 1 year, I want to scale this business. In 1 year, I want to have this degree or this certificate. In 1 year, I want my marriage to be, okay, great, fantastic, but lay it before the Lord. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. In other words, Lord, this is your business. Come on, somebody. This is not my business. This is your business. How do you tell the Lord it's his business? You tithe. That's how you tell the Lord. Don't tell me with your words. Tell me with your actions. Tithe on the business. See what God does when you give it to him. How do you tell the Lord it's his house? You tithe. How do you tell the Lord it's his job? You tithe. That's how you do. That's where the rubber actually hits the road. And now you're serious because now you put your money into the hands of the Lord. Commit to the Lord. And then here's another passage of scripture from James chapter 4:15. It says, instead you ought to say, somebody say ought to say. If the Lord, what? Wills. We will live and do this or that. It's great that you have plans, but understand the old adage, not in the Bible, by the way. This is not in the Bible. Man makes plans and God laughs. That's not a biblical scripture, but it is biblical in the sense that you make a plan, but you don't know what's going to happen in a few years. You don't know how it's going to come to pass. God does. So what you do is you say, Father, this is what I'd want to do. This is where I want to go. Now I'm going to give it to you. And I pray that it goes that way, but I'm okay with what you decide to do with what I want to do. I'll tell you something. You'll live in a very happy, and can I say this, less anxious place when you surrender it to the Lord. Number two, write this down. In order to finish strong, I must serve wherever I go. Serve wherever you go. So this is for all the people who aren't where they want to be yet. Serve where you are. Let me take a look here with you in Acts chapter 28, because Paul the apostle gets to the island of Malta. Now the scripture says in the first verse, we were brought safely through. What? Well, that's pointing back to Acts chapter 27, where Paul goes through this horrendous, and I really mean that, horrendous seafaring journey where he actually is shipwrecked and they end up on this island called Malta. And the scripture says, the native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. And verse 3 says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Now, I just want you to see this first before we get to the next passage. They welcomed them. They kindle a fire. The hosts say, oh, you're here. Who are you? Well, nice to meet you. What are you doing? Okay, hey, we're going to put a fire together. We're going to help you guys out. What does Paul do? Does he sit there idly by and say, oh, thank you very much? No. He gets involved. He serves. Wherever you are, serve. Wherever you are, serve. You don't go to work. You serve at work. You don't live in the house. You serve in the house. You don't just have friends. You serve friends. And I think that this, honestly, this is so important. Some of you, you are failing the serving test. And this is why you don't get traction in your life. Because God administers this exam. It's called, can you serve anybody? Can you serve anybody? So he'll put you in a place with people that you absolutely cannot stand. And you'll go to work and you'll say, I hate all these people. And then you'll come home to your wife and you'll say, I hate all the people that I work with. And then you'll go to bed and I say, Father God, kill all the people that I work with. And the next morning you get up and you say, I hate all these people. And that's a vicious cycle. That's the vicious cycle of failing the serve test. Failing the serve test. And here's what God does. He never lets you skip that class. If you fail that test, he just re-enrolls you the next semester. Says, can you start, sir? At some point, you got to stop seeing those people as evil, wicked, and enemies, and you got to see them as people that God has sent you to serve. Love them. See what happens when you change your perception, okay? So, I'm not done. The scripture says, he picks up a pile of sticks, he puts it on the fire, and a viper. Remember we were talking about the python spirit in Acts chapter 6? There's that old viper, the devil, once again. Here, he never stops. He never stops. A viper came out because of the heat, fastened on his hand. And some of you, this is how it is. Isn't this life? You step out, you start something, and something just snaps you. Something just comes at you. And this, if you're like me, you're like this. Are you serious? Really, right now? Like, that's why Paul has survived a massive shipwreck. And God has brought him safely to this island. And the first thing he does, a viper sticks on his head. If I was Paul, I'd be like, are you kidding me, Lord? That's what I would have said. No, no, no. What does Paul do? What does Paul do? First off, the native people say, my goodness, he must be a murderer, because though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. So I love this. He, however, what does he do? He shook off the creature. Can I tell you that when you get things coming at you in your life and it troubles you, you got to learn to shake it off, shake it off. Oh, you've got to learn to shake off the things that come at you. You cannot afford to let those vipers latch on. Some of you love to just tell everybody, look at the viper. There he is. See, I tried to serve the Lord. There he is. He said, look at my viper's bigger than your viper. Oh, you think you got vipers? Look at my viper. You love to talk about your problems. People love this. They love to talk about their problems. Why? Shake it off in Jesus' name. This is not going to stop me. Shake it off in Jesus' name. You got to learn to do that. I mean, we started Waters Church Greenville last Sunday. We were so excited. Two people came to salvation. New people came and everybody loved it. They were excited to come back. They even signed up to serve. First Sunday, they signed up to serve. Praise the Lord. And then I wake up on Monday morning and God has decided to snow them out. Because in South Carolina, when they get snow, the whole state shuts down. Can't do that in Massachusetts. We plow through. They shut down. So no service. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Lord? No, it's just a viper. Shake it off. It's just a setback. Shake it off. It's just a sickness. Shake it off. It's just a little hard. Shake things off. So scripture says, he suffered no harm. Remember what Jesus said? Oh, check this out. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 19? He said, I've given you authority over the serpents and the scorpions, and nothing shall harm you. Woo! There it is. It might hurt you. It's not going to harm you. And so it says this. They were waiting for him to swell up and die, but when they waited a long time and no misfortune came to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. I love that. The verse's scripture is just so funny. Now in the neighborhood, verse 7 of that place, there were lands belonging to a chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery. And what does Paul do? And Paul what? What is he doing? Serving. It just so happened that this very important guy named Publius had a dad who was sick. And this is the good news about our fallen world is that our fallen world is filled with people with problems. And if you learn to serve them, God will open up new doors to you. You got to stop letting other people's problems just be things that other people complain about. And you got to see it as an opportunity for you to be a blessing. What if this happened? Remember when we talked about this a couple weeks ago? How many steps should we take? 11 steps. What if you took those 11 steps to the person that you don't know, how am I going to talk about Jesus to this person? I don't know anything. They're going to ask me a question. Well, what if you just said, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? And eventually they came around to the conversation of saying, my mom, she just got back from the doctor and it's bad. It's bad. I don't know what we're going to do. And here's your opportunity. Oh my goodness, I feel so terrible for you. Would you mind if I prayed for your mom? I guarantee you the person's not going to say no. Guarantee it. They could be the biggest atheist since, Nietzsche. And they're going to say, yes, I don't mind at all. And then you pray right there. Pray right there. Go ahead. Try it. See what happens. By the way, people don't care about using Jesus' name as a swear word in the workplace. Why don't you pray publicly in the workplace? Now, of course, you got to do this when you're not supposed to be working. All right? Don't do this while you're supposed to be working. But yeah, you gotta give a witness to the power of Jesus. And he prays and she gets healed. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases came and they were cured. In other words, doors open for Paul to serve again and again and again. And he gets multiplicity of opportunity. Write this down in your notes. Opportunity knocks where we wait and serve. There's a famous passage, and I've quoted it before in this series. They that wait upon the Lord will what? Renew their strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now, waiting doesn't mean that you just sit there and you say, okay, Lord, when are you going to do it? Lord, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. No, you see, I used to have a job before this job. I was called a server at a restaurant. What does a server do to tables? Yeah, but there's another word for it. They wait on tables. You ever think about this? To wait on the Lord is to serve where you're waiting. Not just sitting there waiting for God to do something. You serve. And as you serve, opportunity knocks and doors get open. And that's what happens here. So they honored them and they put on board whatever they needed. And this gives Paul not just the blessing to continue his journey, but all the necessities to move forward. Okay, in order to finish strong, write this down. Number three, I must be devoted to God's family. Got to finish up fast now. I must be devoted to God's family. So fast forward a little bit in the passage. And it says they arrived at Regium. This is down in verse 13. After one day, south spring up. And the second day, they came to Puteoli. And in verse 14, there we found what? There we found. Now, what are the brothers? What does that mean, brothers? That means Christians. I mean, we found the family of God. And we were invited to stay with them. And they hosted us for 7 days. Hey, Christians host you for a long time. That's a long time, 7 days. And they came finally. His goal is met. Finally, this is a big statement in the book of Acts when you read it in context. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the Tyrians to meet us. On seeing them, on seeing who? The brothers. On seeing the brothers, Paul thanked God and took courage. You know, you can't do this without other brothers and sisters. You want to accomplish your goals, you got to bring some brothers and sisters around to pray with you, to fellowship with you, to build you up, and to believe God with you. I got some brothers in my life. I got some brothers in my life that when I don't believe, and I get there sometimes, I call them up. And I say, can you help me believe for this in Jesus' name? I got people, I don't think we can do it. I'll say, I don't think we can do it. And I got brothers who will say, yes, we can. And sometimes they'll say, I don't think we can do it. And I'll say, yes, we can. Two are better than one, the scripture says. For if one falls, the other can bring him up. But pity the fool who falls and no one can help him up. Do you got some brothers in your life? Do you got a life group? Do you got a life group that you can connect with when something happens and everything hits the fan and you don't know what you're gonna do? Okay, I got some people I can call and they hold me up in Jesus' name. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I love this passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest. Why? Because I did not find my brother Titus there. I could have preached, but I couldn't do it without Titus. People wanted to hear, but I needed my brother there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. You need brothers, you need sisters to hold you up in the faith. Number four, in order to finish strong, I must press on in the face of opposition. Now, I've already talked about this enough. I don't have to beat this point to death. But I just want you to see that Paul the Apostle faced opposition. In Acts chapter 28, back to our text, in verse 22, the scripture says that he finally gets a chance to talk to the Jews, his biological family, about Jesus. It says, we desire to hear from you, verse 22, what your views are, for with regard to this sect, and by sect they mean Christianity, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed a day for him, they came to his lodging in great numbers, and from morning till evening, that's a long day of preaching right there, he expounded to them the kingdom of God and talking about Jesus from the law and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved, and disagreeing amongst themselves, they turned away. You know what happened? It's the same thing on every chapter of the book of Acts. Here's the facts, friends. When the gospel is preached, some believe and most do not. What does Jesus say? He says, make every effort to enter the what? narrow gate. For many try to enter, and they don't. And a few find it. The numbers are not in our favor. Hey, the facts remain. There's more non-believers in the world than there are believers in the world. And that could upset people. People like me, whose job is to talk about Jesus. People like you, who could talk about Jesus with a friend, and they shut you down, and they mock you, and they don't even want to hear it. And you can say, gosh, I don't even know if I should continue. No, friends. We are the minority. But in heaven, we're going to be the majority. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And you got to learn how to press through opposition. So Paul the Apostle hears them get all upset, and he quotes Isaiah to them, and it says this, at the very end of this passage, he says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation God has sent to the Gentiles. That's hard for Jews to hear in the first century, and they will listen. What does he do? He moves on. Shake off the setbacks and move on. Hey, my beloved Patriots are in the AFC Championship today, coached by Mike Vrabel. And he's gonna be on the television today. They're gonna interview him. And because I got a chance to watch the interview on YouTube before it's gonna be on TV. Here's what he said. They asked him, how do you guide a team through all the ups and the downs of the NFL season? And I love this quote from Mike Vrabel. He said this, I tell my players, a fight is not a fight until there's resistance. Oh, I love that quote. Because if you're facing resistance, that is not your sign to throw in the towel and give up. That is your sign to pony up and fight back in Jesus' name. That is your sign to press through. If there's resistance, it must be worth doing. If some people hate it, it might be of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, he said, woe to you when everybody speaks well of you. For so they spoke about the false prophets who were before you. When they hate you, you might be on the right track. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Jesus said, if anyone, Matthew 10, verse 14, if anyone will not receive you or welcome you or listen to your words, what does he say? Shake it off. And go to the next place. Somebody needs to hear this. You do not need to be a doormat for haters. I don't know where this comes from with Christians. Oh, that's my cross. I just got to go and be hated. No, stop it. Don't entertain haters. They're not worth your time. You can be so fixated on a hater. You're so fixated. How can I get their approval? And the Lord help you if it's your father. How can I get his approval? Or your mother. How can I get her approval? Or your sister, your brother, or whatever. Forget it. Move on. Find somebody else because you'll miss all the other opportunities because you're fixated on the one that you can't win over. Paul the Apostle moved on. And friends, that's our philosophy as a church. I get it. People leave the church all the time. People go out because they don't get their way. They don't get what they want. So they go and they leave. And then they go and they start their own little thing. And they think, okay, we're all spiritual over here. And then it could upset me. And sometimes it gets on my nerves. But you know what I do? I focus on the people who are coming in, not the people who are walking away. Because the people who are coming in are excited to be here. Amen, somebody. Number five, in order to finish strong, the big one. Here we go. I must keep God's kingdom first. I have to keep the kingdom of God first in my life. Paul, the last two verses of the book of Acts, he lived there 2 years at his own expense. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about what? The Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, this is what you got to resolve around. Whether or not your goals become reality, or you face opposition, or you're stung by the viper, or people turn and walk out your life. At the end of the day, this is it. Father, make Jesus known through my life. If you resolve there, man, you win. You win. You might not win on earth, but you win in heaven. And at the end of the day, the only scoreboard that matters is the scoreboard in heaven. Did you say yes to Jesus? Was he the reason why you lived? Did you give him glory in the ups and the downs? The kingdom doesn't stop. The kingdom faces no hindrance. God's kingdom is coming. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added. Put God's kingdom first, and you won't have to worry about chasing all the other things that people go after. All right, sermon in 5 bullet points so I can sum it up real quick. Ready? Finish strong. Here we go. Set godly goals. Serve where you are, even if you're not where you want to be. Unite to God's family. Get in a life group if you're not in a life group. Receive the Lord Jesus if you haven't received him yet today. Move past opposition. And number 5, put his kingdom first. I'm telling you something, that's what the book of Acts chapter 28 teaches me. Now we're gonna go before the Lord in communion. We're gonna celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as you finish off writing those notes, you can take out your communion elements and get ready for that in just a moment. I wanna encourage you to do that. But I want you to do me a favor, everybody in this place, at least put your heads down for a moment. And if you can, close your eyes. As soon as you get your communion element ready, just close your eyes with me. Here we go. Most important decision in your life, friend. Most important decision in your life is, where will you spend eternity? The bad news is, no one gets to heaven because they're a good person. No one. No one. The standard is perfection. Romans 3:23 says we all fall short of that. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. Scripture says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then in Romans 10, it says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus with your mouth as Lord, you shall be saved. It's that easy. It's a free gift of God to be born again into the family that lives forever. I want to give you a chance at every location to say yes to Jesus right now. Would you bow with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Would you say this prayer with me? Would you please say it from your mouth? But most importantly, it could be quiet, but say it from your heart. Not to me, but to the Lord Jesus. Say to the Father. Say, Heavenly Father, today I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Make me your child. Today I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. And today I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Waters Church Podcast. To learn more, connect with us, or to visit a campus near you, head over to waterschurch.org. We can't wait to see what God will do in your life this week. And join us again next week for more life-changing messages from Waters Church.